Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, now flowing down from hands and feet that were nailed to the tree. His grace flows down, His grace covers all my sin.
And covers me, and covers me.
Covers me,
and covers me, and
covers me.
And covers me, and
covers me. Covers me,
and covers me.
The first thing I need to do before we get started today is apologize. You're all going to have to forgive me. There's no way you're getting out of here on time today. But it's going to be worth it, but you'll just have to let this one slide. That being said, thank you. I can't say it enough so much for being a church family that supports something like this and that's willing to help our youth ministry and this team get to go experience something like this. And I really think after you hear some of our speakers that you guys got a pretty good return on your investment. So thank you so much through your prayers and financial support for making this possible for us. From beginning to end of this trip, it was easy to see that someone else was in control the whole time. From the travel and logistics to how the kids were reacting to things. So before we hear from some of our team members, what I want to do is kind of take you to Belize with us and give you sort of a short synopsis of what we did on our week in Belize. So we arrived in Belize around lunchtime on Sunday the 19th. We left the airport and went directly to a children's home called Hopewell. And Hopewell is an orphanage in Belize that takes in kids from broken homes and abusive families and takes care of them. They support themselves and get their resources through farming by raising cattle and raising pigs and tilapia and selling those things. They don't get any help from the government. They're self-sustaining. We got our tour. We got to tour the orphanage and hear all about their background, who they are, how they did things, and we got to spend some time with some of the kids there. We left there and traveled to the village of Copper Bank. That's the name of the village we served all week. Sunday evening, we met at Pastor Cal and his wife, Elizabeth. We met at their home. That was kind of the home base for the whole week. They had a home right up the street from the church. And what we kind of did that first night was, it was just sort of a meet and greet. We played the name game and just got to know each other a little bit because it was helpful to know, you know, what we were getting ourselves in, what everyone was getting into for the week. Monday morning, we got to experience a prayer walk. Our group walked around the village of Copper Bank and went to some of the homes of the church members and prayed with them. And we got to meet some of Pastor Cal's family that morning and try some fresh mango and some fresh coconut milk. Monday afternoon, we did a kids club, and at the club, we played soccer with the kids, jumped rope, played some other games. There were about 80 kids from the community who showed up to these, and it was just a time to have fun and build relationships with the kids and get them together as well, because while we were there, we heard that they don't get out and really play a whole lot with each other. So it was good to be able to bring them together as well. Tuesday, we got to see some Mayan ruins, which was really cool. We got to climb them, which our group really loved, and you'll see some pictures of that later. A few of us got to hold a wild tarantula, and that just Simon and Doug did that. No one else was crazy enough to do it. I stayed very far away from it, but you'll see a picture of that too. Tuesday evening, we got to be a part of Pastor Cal and his church's weekly prayer meeting. So every week on Tuesday, Pastor Cal has a couple from his church go to the church every hour starting at 6 a.m. and pray for an hour. So all day, there's someone at that church praying. And so at night, after we got back from the ruins, we got to go and be a part of that meeting and just kind of share the needs of our church with them, and they shared the needs of their church with us, and we just, you know, had a good time of prayer with one another. Wednesday morning, we got up and went into the jungle or the bush, as you will see later in the video. Pastor Cal's church actually just last week finished up a VBS, the same VBS that we did, submerged with the kids in that community and surrounding communities. And he needed, while we were there, for a clearing, a place to be cleared out for them to be able to do that ministry. And so one of the things we did was Wednesday morning, we went out into this jungle and we dug holes to be used for the bathrooms, and we raked leaves and we cleared debris off the land, and we got that area cleared up for Pastor Cal to be able to do his ministry there, his VBS. Wednesday afternoon, the ladies from our team got to go to the church and be a part of the weekly ladies' prayer meeting. And from what I heard, that was a really cool experience for our girls and women who went, because they got to kind of share their story and their testimony and pray with some of the women from Pastor Cal's church. And that was a really cool experience for them. While they were doing that, Pastor Cal and the men of our team went to help clean up a faith center that they have built there. So about 5 years ago, a church from Canada, I believe, came down and helped build this building that you'll see later. And the purpose of it, Pastor Cal's vision for it, is to train leaders in his community who want to do ministry, train them there to be sent out. So that was pretty cool, I thought. Later that afternoon, we held another kids club where we interacted and played games and soccer with the kids of the community again. And I'll say that this is one of the coolest things that I noticed at these kids clubs and during our trip in general, and our teenagers that went, was that they were experiencing a joy and a freedom and a peace of heart that can only be found with their relationship with Christ. One of the things I've been telling people is that our kids weren't afraid for once in their lives to actually be themselves and to enjoy God's love and embrace that love and embrace the love of the kids of that community. So it was a really special thing for me to sit back and watch, to see our kids dive into that. Wednesday night, our team led a church service. We worshiped together. I preached and talked about Jesus washing the disciples' feet and kind of what that meant and what that looked like for us. And everyone participated in washing one another's feet from our church and from theirs. And then our praise band closed us out, which was really cool. They had some instruments there that our praise band got to rock out that last final service. It was really cool to just see both our team and the Belize church embrace the washing of one another's feet. I mean, everyone jumped right in. There was no complaints. It was a really special thing to see. Thursday morning, we went back to that faith center I mentioned, and we painted and cleaned it up some more and got some water out of it, and then got to do another prayer walk to more members of the church, just went to their house and prayed with them. Thursday afternoon, our teenagers played a soccer game against their teenagers, and it was a humbling moment, to say the least, but it was probably, it was one of my favorite parts. It was really fun. And Friday, we were lucky enough to cap off our week with a snorkeling trip. The final evening was probably my favorite part. It usually is about on every mission trip. But we had our final debriefing meeting as a group. where our girls and Tyler and Simon led us in worship. And then we had some time of sharing where everyone just kind of shared about some how they experienced God in their hearts that week and kind of what he was doing in their hearts while we had been in Belize. And then we went around to each person in our group, and four or five other people in our group said something encouraging or how they saw Jesus in that person to every single person in our group. It took about 3 hours, but it was beautiful to hear some of the reflections and words that were said amongst one another, and you can see that Jesus was really alive and at work in the hearts of these kids sitting right here. Our meals throughout the week were chicken, rice, and beans, some form of that, prepared by the women, some of the women of Pastor Cal's church. A little bit about Pastor Cal. Pastor Cal is 27. His name is Ahizer Cal, but we call him Pastor Cal. And he grew up in Copper Bank, and his dad was the pastor of that church, and Thirst Missions had sent teams to Copper Bank before we got there. But about 2 years ago, Pastor Cal and his wife Elizabeth were off doing ministry in a close by town called Progreso, and Pastor Cal's father committed adultery, cheated on his wife with another lady in the community, and had to leave the church, and members left the church, obviously. And Pastor Cal had such a heart for the village that he grew up in that him and Elizabeth moved back because they didn't want to see that church die, and they didn't want to see the people of Copper Bank, you know, go their whole lives without knowing Jesus just because of what happened. And since then, you know, he's forgiven his father, but him and Elizabeth are back in Copper Bank ministering to that town. And I just fell in love with that story and the fact that, you know, we were the first team to go to Copper Bank with Pastor Cal leading that church. And, you know, we were the first team to go there in 2 years. So it all was really cool about that story. Before we left in the last night, their church presented us with this gift. It's two birds. One's Calvary, one's their church. But I thought that was cool. I'd show that. It was a great week. I'm going to shut up and let you hear what you really want to hear. Chase?
I'm Chase Brennell, just in case if y'all didn't know. I'll be a junior at North Surrey. I'd like to thank friends and family, Calvary Baptist, for financially supporting us to go to Belize and spiritually supporting me to prepare me. As in my experience in Belize, it was just awesome, really. A lot different from the United States. People didn't judge you for who you were or what you were. They didn't see what was on the outside. They saw what was on the inside. I basically saw God through them the whole trip. And it was a pleasure to work for them, you know, help them in need, because I know that they do the same for me, because that's how nice people they were. And the flight over there, I know God was with me there, because, you know, I'm scared of flying and scared of heights especially. So it was nice knowing that God was there the whole trip. And something that Alex wanted me to bring up, one day that we went to work, we worked in the jungle, which I like to call the bush, and we chopped down trees with a machete. How classy is that? It was just awesome doing that kind of work. I would just really like to go back someday, and thank y'all.
My name is Calvin Johnson, and I'm going to be a junior at North Surrey. First off, I would like to thank my parents, Alex Bracey, and each one of you that made it possible for me to go on this trip. It was truly a life-changing experience for me. From playing soccer with the kids, to digging holes, and to walking around Copper Bank and praying for the people of the church's homes, it all had an impact on me and the people of our group. The relationships that are built on this trip will last with me for a lifetime. I made friends with kids and people of Belize, people within our group, and our leaders from Thirst Missions, Perla and Loyola. But most importantly, my relationship with Jesus was made stronger. When we first got to Belize, none of us knew what to expect. One of the first places we went was Hopewell, the children's home. And it was extremely hot and the bugs were out everywhere. And I thought it might be a long week. But then the owner of Hopewell started to give us a tour of the farm. And as we was walking through the pigsties, something tapped me on the back. I turned around to see a 5-year-old boy and he said to me, "Can I get on your shoulders?" And I looked around at Ben Gerald next to me and I was like, "Is it normal for a little boy to come up to you and say, 'Can I get on your shoulders?'" And I put the boy on my shoulders and I turned around to see Chase Brennell, who was sunburnt, who had a little boy on his shoulders too and a painful face. But this set the tone for the entire trip for me. Every person I met was that loving and friendly. And the people of Belize were truly inspirational. They all had a story. And most of the women weren't permitted by their husbands to come to church, but they would come anyway. And Bracy actually told me just now that we went to pray at one of the women's homes. Her husband was in the house hiding under the bed. And the church that we worked for had very few men that attended, and one of these men was Javier. Javier could chop down trees with a machete. And he had a work accident a couple years ago where he'd gotten brain damage and never received surgery because he didn't have the money for it. And he could not find a steady job because he couldn't work long without getting tired. It was clear when you talked to Javier and through his actions that he is slow in his mind. And Javier was at every church service that we went to, and he helped us out with everything we did. Javier taught me a lot of things, one of them being you don't have to be perfect to love other people and Jesus. The other people of the church were like Javier in the way that they loved. To have such a little amount of material items, I never saw any of these people without a smile on their face at any point during the week. It was obvious that the hearts of these people were filled with Jesus. Before I went on this trip, I didn't realize that I wouldn't be showing these people Jesus. They would be showing him to me. These people have so little, but yet they have so much with Christ. Belize is a beautiful country, even through its poverty. From the lagoon of Copperbank to the Mayan ruins, it was all amazing. The view from the tallest Mayan ruin, which is the highest point in Belize, was breathtaking. The beaches at Cay Caulker were very pretty too, and this country is another great example of God's beautiful creations. My wish is that everyone gets an opportunity to experience this country and the people of it. I would love to go back to Copperbank one day and see how all my friends from Belize have grown physically and spiritually. Thank you all again.
I'm Maggie O'Dell, Doug O'Dell and Amelia O'Dell's daughter, if you don't know me that well. I am going to be a senior at Northwest High School in Greensboro. I want to first thank you all for all of your support during this trip. Could not have been possible without all of your prayers and monetary support. Sorry. This trip was certainly a life-changing experience for me and everyone else going. Before I start telling you about the trip, I want to sing a song for you. Please feel free to sing along if you know it. God's not dead, no, he is alive. God's not dead, no, he is alive. Feel it in my hands, feel it in my feet. Feel it in my heart, boom, boom, boom. Feel it in my soul, woo! Feel it all over me. We heard this song on the second or third night of our trip, and I believe wholeheartedly that it was our theme song. I felt God all over me the whole entire time. I felt him in my hands as those little kids took my hands and trusted me and loved me with all their hearts as I loved them. I felt it in my feet as we walked all through the village to pray for the men and women of the village. I felt him in my heart as I heard the testimonies of the women at the women's meeting. I felt it in my soul as the Lord continuously provided me with energy throughout the whole trip to bless those around me and as I was blessed by those in the village. I felt the Lord all over me. All of the kids in our youth went to Belize completely unsure about what we were getting ourselves into. I never heard one complaint the whole entire time. I never heard one cross word about the heat, about the food, or about the working conditions. We all poured our hearts and souls into this trip, and we left with new hearts. My heart is now aware that everything is a blessing. Air conditioning, hot water, food, shoes, paved roads, a house with more than one room, a great education, and the list could go on and on. I'm now aware of the beauty of nature, the joy in everyone, or that one simple high five or a hug can make someone's day. Everyone needs love. Those kids needed so much love, but as we were in Belize, they showered us with the most love I have ever felt. I now know that to be myself, I have to let Jesus call the shots. Bracey had this one topic he kept bringing up the whole time, that us as teenagers have so much pressure on us to be cool and accepted, that we never have time to be ourselves through Jesus Christ. This mission trip was in no way a vacation, but a learning experience for us all to find and share the love of Jesus Christ. To love like Jesus, to feel accepted by the one that matters. Now I'm going to share with you some of my favorite moments, the moments in which I felt Jesus the most, and the life-changing moments. The first moment, we had kids' club two of the nights, and it was at the park. And the park was not the typical park that's here in America with swings and slides. It was a slab of concrete and a stage and some grass around it that was up to our knees. And we worked together as a youth group with lawnmowers, weed eaters, rakes, other things. And we cleaned it up. We got eaten by ants, but it was still fun. And the Lord provided us with enough energy to get through that and then play with the kids and share our love of Jesus Christ with the kids and have them shower so much love on us. One of my favorite moments from one of the kids' club was my dad was taking a picture of me and 10 other kids, and then 7 other kids ran over, and I knew like 2 of their names maybe. There's a lot of names to remember. And he said, say, 1, 2, 3, cheese. And they all looked at each other. I mean, they didn't look at each other or anything. And they said, 1, 2, 3, Maggie. And that just made me feel so special. I felt completely invincible at that point in time. And I felt completely empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ to spread my love and get love spread to me. Another moment was at the women's meeting on Wednesday night. We got to hear the testimonies of 4 or 5 of the ladies in the church in El Faro Encendido, the church in Copper Bank. And they talked in Spanish the whole time, and they had long testimonies. You couldn't understand a word they were saying. Well, we had a translator, but when they were speaking, you couldn't understand a word they were saying. And you could feel every single word they said, and you could feel the power when they finally realized who their Lord was and opened their heart to Jesus Christ. And I developed a relationship with one of the ladies at this meeting, Sister Reina. Her story really spoke out to me, and I love to pray with her and talk to her, even though we couldn't really communicate that well. And I'll always remember her. She told me that next time when I see her, she'll know more English so she can communicate with me. And so next time when I see her, I'll know more Spanish. Another one of the moments was during the working days. The working days, we worked at the Faith Institute, and it was me, Allison, Emma, and Jarrett, while everyone else went to the bush. And we were working there, we got some blisters. We didn't have as hard of a time as people did in the bush. Simon got stung by 8 bees. But we got some blisters and stuff. But Allison and Emma and Jarrett just listened to me talk the whole time, and I listened to them talk, and we developed a relationship that I'll never forget and that can never surpass others. And another one of the working days, we worked in the Faith Institute again, but we were sanding walls, all of us together, and we used slabs of concrete about this big to sand the walls, and it just made me realize that we take simple things like sanders for granted. While we are using the electronic sanders, sometimes in air conditioning and stuff, they're out there working in the heat with 100% humidity with little slabs of concrete, smushing their pankies or their thumbs. And they're still the happiest people I've ever met. So that was great. And the last moment was the last night. It was one of the greatest nights of my life. The whole group was open to each other and speaking from their hearts. We sang, we shared, and we cried. I cried my eyes out. As everyone shared their favorite parts of the trip, all I could feel was Jesus. No one said their favorite part was the snorkeling or the Mayan ruins. Everyone had a favorite part where they felt the Lord the most. A moment that changed their heart or turned them closer to Jesus. We were only gone from the village one day, and all everyone could think about was going back. After sharing our favorite parts, we sat around the table and complimented and encouraged each other. Not the compliments like, you're pretty, or you're nice, or you're cool. It was compliments about their character and their relationships with Jesus. I got some compliments that made me very happy. It made me see that to be truly happy and the happiest that I'll ever be, I have to be myself through Jesus Christ. And when I gave someone a compliment, it felt really good too, so definitely recommend doing that. As I sit at home and continue on with my busy life, I seem to think of Belize many times a day. I can be complaining about the heat or that I have too much stuff to do, that I have nothing to do, and I think about the people in Belize. They have no air conditioning. They stay in the village all day, work, or go to school. And I'm sitting there complaining about having too much stuff to do, and I think about that, and I stop complaining immediately. I've taken the joy that the children and adults shared with me, and I intend to spread that joy around my community. No one deserves to feel unloved, especially when they have the Lord loving them. I will think of those people every day for the rest of my life. I will think of their hardships they have to go through to worship the Lord. I will think of their beautiful smiles. I will think of the moment when I get to see them again. I grew so much stronger in my faith during this trip, and I will continue to learn more and more about Jesus Christ and Christianity so I can share more and more with my friends and beliefs when I see them again. I could tell you, if anyone wants to sit down and talk for like 5 hours, I could tell you a lot more about this, but I'm going to stop now. So I just ask you to continuously pray for the people in Belize and in Copper Banks Village, that they can continue to be blessed by the Lord, and that we as a church can continue to show the love of the Lord that they need. Thank you.
My name is Simon, for those of you who don't know. And this was my second trip with the group. I went to Gatlinburg last year with them, and this was by far the best. It's one I'm never going to forget. And I'm going to share a story with you that I experienced in one of my encounters. And it was one middle of the week. We were coming back from the community soccer game that Bracey talked about. It was our youth versus the youth in Copper Bank and a lot of the men. So we got destroyed, and it was really embarrassing, but it was fun. And we were walking back to Pastor Cal's house for a meal, I think. And I was walking back with a boy named Luis, who's Javier's son, who Calvin talked about with the injury. And we were walking back, and Luis is probably 8 or 9 years old, and his English isn't that good because he hasn't been learning it that long. But we're trying to like communicate as well as we can. And he sees that I'm wearing that cross necklace that Doug and Alex gave out to all of us, and we were supposed to give to one of the people we met that really impacted us. And he interrupted me, and he saw it, and he asked what it was, and I told him, and he asked if he could have it. And then I said, of course. So I gave it to him, and I told him what the cross stood for and its significance. And he was putting it on, and I couldn't really tell if he was listening or if he understood what I was saying because he was so young. And so I just kind of, we turned around and kept walking to Pastor Kyle's house. And then he tugged the back of my shirt and stopped me, and I turned around, and I said, what is it? And he said, he grabbed the cross and held it up, and he said, I already know what this is. And I said, what is it? And he looked at me, and he smiled, and he said, this is Christ. And in that moment, I just got goosebumps all over, because it was really like simple sentence. It was just 3 words, this is Christ. But just hearing that from him, who didn't know much English, and just the impact it had on me was beautiful. And before this trip, we all kind of thought that we would be going down there for us to shine Jesus' light to them and to let them build relationships with Jesus. But once we got there, we all kind of realized it's going to be just the opposite. All those people down there were so happy, and we had no understanding why, because they had little to nothing, and we just couldn't comprehend that. But they shined Jesus' light to us, and our relationship strengthened with them. And that was just a memory I'll never forget. And thank you to all who helped, and can't wait to go back soon, hopefully.
My name is Lynette Phillips, and what we are saying to you all today, there is no way that we can express and adequately present the feelings and the events that we had an opportunity to share. One of the things that I was thinking about what I was going to say, and this scripture, I listen to K-Love Radio, that's my favorite radio station, and I thought it was just so fitting. It's 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. This trip was one of the greatest experiences that my family has had the privilege of being involved in, as well as serving as a representative of Calvary Baptist Church. We have a wonderful youth group. We have a wonderful youth minister and other church members who offered the Village of Copper Bank hope. And equally, we received hope through the current ministry within that village. This mission trip started long before 6/19, as there were prayers to be said, shots to be administered, passports to purchase, and fundraisers to work. And in my mind, our journey with the villagers of Copper Bank still continues today and will last for many weeks and months and years to come. This journey would not have been possible without each of you here supporting us all along the way. Thank you does not seem adequate, but I thank you for your prayers and your financial support of this mission. The service held here the Sunday before our departure was just the beginning of the love that we took with us to Belize. That service will forever be a special memory for each of us. From that moment, we knew this trip was in God's hands. I simply cannot adequately express how much your love was shared during our week in Belize. The youth of this church are unbelievable and a group to be proud of. They were willing to go through all of the pre-trip planning, the travel, and the mission. And as you've already heard some say, with no complaints, not one. It didn't matter what we did or where we went. They simply wanted to help others and learn from them. We started our journey around midnight and traveled to Raleigh, thanks to Mike Francis and Ralph Height, who took us on the first leg of our journey. The group then traveled to Atlanta, then on to Belize to go through customs without any glitches. God was with us. There we met our two guides for the week, Perla and Loyola. These two individuals were sent by God to help us maneuver through the upcoming challenges and successes. We hit the ground running in Belize with a trip to Hopewell Children's Home and then on to Copper Bank Village. These youth had been up since Saturday morning, and they didn't get to bed until 1 o'clock our time on Monday morning. They were up at 7 that morning for breakfast and a long day of learning and sharing. Throughout the week, we learned that the families in Copper Bank love the same God that we love. They have the same struggles we have. They even have some of the same technology. However, nothing is as abundant as we know it. The villagers accepted us and immediately welcomed us into their midst as soon as we arrived. And we accepted and loved them right back. There may have been some language barriers, but a hug, a smile, and laughter is universal. They prepared two meals a day for us, and we did not hold back. It might have been chicken and rice, but we were hungry. But there was always enough. They were eager to share their lives with us and ask us to pray for them and their individual needs as we participated in the prayer walks around the village. It was truly amazing to watch as our youth prayed out loud for the families in Copper Bank. They listened to the family's struggles and needs, and then they offered a prayer for that family. Our days were long and dirty, and they were full of fun, laughter, and tears. Our guides, Perla and Loyola, they were perfect for us. Everything they did for us and with us was out of their love for God and trying to serve Him. We saw God at work in many ways throughout the week. We took time out each night to reflect on how each of us saw God at work. And it was great to hear all that each individual had to say. There was one youth that talked about how God gives us brilliant minds to use and to be creative. And another youth that talked about how we're all the same. We're all God's children. How God provides mercy and grace. We also witnessed God's love at work through fun and laughter with the children and the adults of the village. This was a week of sharing with and partnering with and serving alongside other Christians. While we were definitely outside of our comfort zones, we were well within God's comfort zone, and that was all that mattered. Our final night in Belize was quite a surprise to me. I had witnessed God at work all week, but our last night will always stand out as one of my favorite memories. Alex had said earlier in the day that he hoped our final meeting would last about an hour. And as you heard him say, it lasted around 3 hours. We first listened to our guide, Perla, sum up our week, and she encouraged us as we move forward to not forget what we witnessed and accomplished during our time there. We then sang some songs, but what happened next was nothing short of God's presence. Every individual in our group was encouraged by others in our group. I have never been so moved as I was in those hours. It was truly overwhelming, and there are no words to describe what happened other than God used our voices to speak His words of encouragement to each of us. The last contact I had with a Belizean was at the Belize airport. I was making a purchase, and the cashier began talking about her country and how much she loved it. She said she would never want to leave Belize, that her country was beautiful. It made me think not so different from us. Again, I want to thank you personally for making this trip possible. It was incredible, and it was God-led. Thank you.
First of all, straighten out the tarantula thing. I would not have held it if I did not know my daughter, as she did, was going to hold it. So if it was going to bite somebody, it was going to be me. All of our youth would have made every one of you extremely proud during this trip. It really seemed from the time we got to the church and left that they all changed from what they normally are and do in school and in the community here to a Christian youth team. And I know Chase's little speech he gave earlier was short and sweet, but a couple nights he had some words of wisdom for us that were so deep and so intellectual and were so passionate. Coming from a Christian youth, it really set the tone for all of us during our trip. We met at Calvary, as we had said, with many friends. First night started with a big circle before we got into the bus to leave. And Alex set the tone for the trip. Alex said a prayer that really just touched the hearts of each and every one of us before we got onto the bus. From driving to the airport, to waiting in the airport, to the next flight, to waiting, to the bus trips, like 16 hours had went by, and not a single complaint from any of our youth. And it was brutally hot, and it was muggy. But we left out one little part that happened right before we got to the village. First of all, we went to Hopewell. And the Hopewell, once again, says it is a children's home where there's youth trafficking. They're orphans, abused and neglected. It wasn't 5 minutes after we arrived that their youth embraced our youth. We're walking around holding hands with our youth, and our youth had them on our shoulders. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful moment, and it really opened our eyes to the disparity that we were going to see while we were in Belize. We got back in the bus and was headed towards the village. But as we got close to the village, only I was asking Alex how much further. Alex said about 4 minutes. When I was watching, I was sitting looking at the back of the bus, and I watched Alex's eyes get bigger and bigger. I said, "What's going on?" I turned around, and we got to a river. And I seen this river, and there was no bridge. And there's a little barge on the other end. A little fella got on there, and he started. He was turning a winch, and that barge was coming across that river about 10 foot a minute. And there wasn't a lot said. Barge got over. We pulled the bus up on the barge. So we're on the barge in the river. And we start back across the river. And Alex was really quiet. And Jimbo broke the silence when he said, Yeah, I seen this movie. Right here is where they shoot the cable and the bars goes down the river and they go up a waterfall. So what little blood was left in Alex's face was gone. But we traveled to the village, visited the church, and met with Pastor Cal, and the kids so reverently listened to him as he laid out the plans for our week. We did these walks around the villages. People in the village had asked us to come and pray for them. When we got to their houses, up to our amazement, the people said, come in. Their houses were much smaller, as small as our smallest Sunday school rooms. So there's 21 of us, and we're good-sized fellas and people. So we come compared to them. So we pile in, and we're just crammed in these houses. And our youth never made the first comment of the lack of luxuries or the cleanliness or anything that they lacked or the no air conditioning. Our youth would pile right in and take turns saying prayers for these people. And it was such a wonderful moment that, and our youth kept making the comment, you know, they realized material possessions aren't the most important things after all. We had planned this gathering. We had heard about it from the pastor. We planned a gathering of the youth to get the youth together in the church, in the park. So once again, like Maggie said earlier, we went to the park and we were looking for a park and they were pointing out this field. And it was high grass and it was a concrete slab. Where our kids went at it with lawnmowers, weed eaters, rakes, brooms. Nobody said a thing. They just took it upon themselves and took off. And before you knew it, a few hours later, it was cleared out. It was beautiful. The concrete slab was nice. And then I had to say, the first kid walked up and looked at me and said, can I play with a ball? And it really broke my heart because it's the first realization of, you know, they haven't seen anybody or had anybody to play with. And then I have to use the word inhibition. Inhibition is a feeling that makes one unable to act in a relaxed or natural way. Our kids' inhibition was gone. It was the most awesome thing. After the 80 kids got there, I was doing a lot of the filming, taking pictures. So I stand up on the stage and I was looking out. I seen like 10 of our kids in here with 60 kids playing soccer, over here playing frisbee, over there jump roping, over there another group playing tag. And our kids and their kids both had, you know, their lips were touching their ears. They were all smiling so big. And they played like that for 2 hours each time we had that. And it was just, it was a wonderful thing. Pastor Cal came up to me and commented that his kids, those kids there, had never seen true love and fellowship. So at that time, I realized our kids were truly ministering to the youth of the village. One of the nights we went had a youth night at church. Once again, I was filming, so I came in last. Well, you could hear song and dance going on inside the church. Well, I came walking in last, and when I got in, I noticed our youth weren't sitting in the back waiting. As soon as they walked in, they went straight and got in line, as you'll see in the video. Got in line, and they were practicing for Vacation Bible School. So they were singing and dancing, and their church members kind of just turned around and looked at our youth, but then just kept on going. And it's, they just joined in unison, and it seemed to be one big church rather than two different church groups. And that was just an absolutely awesome moment. And even first person to jump in the front when we asked somebody to take the lead, Chase jumped right up front and took the lead. And the Holy Spirit was definitely present with us that night. On the community service nights, besides cleaning the park, we did the large concrete building, library. It was very humid, hot, a lot of bugs. Our kids cleaned and cleaned and cleaned and sanded and painted. We had to tell them on numerous times to quit working so we could go eat, or quit working so we could take a break, or quit working so we could go back and get cleaned up for the church that night. There were people walking by from the village looking at our kids dancing, smiling, singing to the top of their lungs while they were working, and they had to see the Lord working in our youth. In the bush, which was an interesting place, especially to take racing, it was the jungle. And we went out and worked in the jungle and dug large holes for latrines and worked on cut down trees. The guys cut down trees to make picnic tables because they had six church groups coming in to have Vacation Bible School there. And just seeing our kids work so diligently was just a wonderful, wonderful sight. The last night with their church, Bracy did the sermon, and to say that he's grown since I've known him is a major understatement. His sermon was absolutely over the top. He did a sermon on John 13, 34, 35. Love one another as I have loved you. And talked about how we need to be humble in our service and how we need to serve one another. Well, Bracy walked out, and everyone was so wrapped up in the moment, and so wrapped up in his sermon. He walked out, and Pastor Cal was talking, and he came back in with two buckets and two rags and set them at the front of the church. And you know, as the disciples, you read in the Bible, when Jesus washed the disciples' feet, their feet were very dusty. They'd been out in the walking, and their feet were very dusty and dirty. Well, we'd been out. Our feet were horrible. Our legs were muddy, and our feet were horrible. Well, no one had the least bit of hesitation. We lined straight up. We washed the feet of the people of the church and washed each other's feet, and it was just an absolutely over-the-top moment. The last night's meeting with their church and our church was extremely surreal. It was a very sad moment. There was a lot of crying going on, because in just the short time we had, and a lot of it has to do with not having any electronics, any of the stuff that our kids and we are so used to, we just had each other, us and them. But we had grown such a close bond to them that the last night was extremely sad. And like I said, there was a lot of hugging, a lot of tears flowing, but it was just a wonderful that we'd grown so close as Christians. The last night that we had our worship service together was definitely the pinnacle. I definitely would not get into any details, but it was such a beautiful moment for each one of our kids and each one of us chaperones that got to talk also, to talk about how we've seen the Lord working in each one of them and the Lord's been working in us. And it's we're so blessed to have such a caring youth. We're so blessed to have Bracy and Tyler teaching our youth. I cannot tell you how much our youth love those guys, and it shows. And I know I've said this before, when you're out in public and people are going to be around, they're going to hang out with people. You know, Calvin and them see it all the time. People are going to hang out with somebody. So when Bracy comes to the ball game and all our youth go around him and swoop around him, and that's who they're hanging out with rather than the shifty guy over in the corner, I just praise the Lord, and it's just such a blessing to have him. Once again, we may be old, plain old country folks here in Mount Airy, but before we went on a mission trip, a few things they told us: that God doesn't call perfect people. He calls imperfect people to step forward and serve him. When we go, he changes us. When we go, he draws near to us. And when we go, he is glorified. Our youth definitely shared the love of Jesus Christ so wonderfully and changed many lives of us in his church and of those in Belize. May God continue to bless Calvary and its youth and all those who we get to minister to. Thank you very much for your support.
I know it's probably hard for some of you to believe, but none of the kids who went on the trip had their phone the whole week. You're probably so used to seeing young people just like this constantly. But they didn't have their phones the whole week. They embraced each moment. They not once ever asked me for their phone back. I want this church to know that you guys have teenagers in this church who love Jesus, who try so hard to follow him in the midst of the awfulness that they experience in school every day, and who genuinely want to point others towards Jesus. I just want y'all to know that. Thank you so much. Yeah. But like Lynette mentioned, this was all of us who did this. Thank you so much for getting us there. Y'all didn't just, you know, send us. Y'all were a part of this journey with us. And thank you so much for that. I know we're running low on time. Our hope is to continue to grow our relationship with Pastor Cal and his wife Elizabeth and their church in the village of Copper Bank, so that people of that village can continue to experience God's great and amazing love and get to know Jesus a little bit better.